You're listening to the Fire Pit Podcast, Conversations Between Father and Son. My name is Ryan. I'm the son.
And I'm Wayne, and I'm the dad.
And today we are talking about growing up and living in the 60s and 90s. So I think I'll kick it over to you first, just chronologically. So okay. What was it like growing up in the 60s?
Growing up in the 60s, and of course, I have to go back to even the 50s because I was born in 51, so long time ago. But actually, the 60s is what I remember the most. Most of us don't remember too much about our grade school years. Little bits and pieces for me, but not enough to really matter. The 60s, I know in the books they call it the rebellious years. Which it really was. There was a lot of rebellion going on in youth during that time. I remember a lot of songs that I listened to that I had no idea what they meant until later in life. There was a song called American Woman, and it was done by a rock band, and I didn't know at the time that that song was about draft dodger. And
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So they kind of cloaked their music a lot of times, some of the rock bands, and you'll sing them, you think, oh, that's really cool, that's really cool. And I was not a draft dodger. And I actually went into the service in 69 to the military. But growing up during the 60s was interesting, especially when I look at everything that's happened since then. Just to give you an idea of a few of the differences. Telephones. If you wanted a phone, the questions were, do you want a wall mount or a desk mount? Do you want, what color do you want? And that was pretty much it. And we had a party line. So my family didn't have, private access to this phone line. We shared it with some neighbor. And every once in a while, if you wanted to use the phone, you pick up the phone and you'd hear somebody talking and you'd have to wait till they were finished until you could make a phone call. Can you imagine that today? TV. I still remember we didn't have color TV up till, I don't even know when color TVs came in, but I do remember my dad, he was going to try to improvise, and there was this thing that they sold at the stores. It was a piece of plastic that had see-through plastic, and it had blue on the top, brown in the green and brown. And somehow or other, if you put that on your TV set, it made you had a color TV. Awesome. Not really, but anyway, that was one of the things. My recollection of TV too was there was really nothing to worry about with regard to kids. I mean, we still had the censors. Hollywood had censors on everything. So if you look back to some of the old TV programs, some of the old sitcoms, the Dick Van Dyke Show and some of these other ones, if you see them in a bedroom, there were always two beds. There were small beds, and you never saw the husband and wife sleeping in the same bed together. Hmm. That was a part of the censor thing. So parents back then, you didn't have to worry about your kids watching bad stuff because it wasn't really any bad stuff on there. The biggest problem that you had as a parent was that your kid was watching TV when he was supposed to be doing his homework or he should have been out playing. But it was never the violence. It was nothing about sex. There was no bad words. It was very safe in that sense back then. Going to school was very different. This is kind of interesting to me because I remember, I can't remember how many years ago it was now that I went back to visit my old high school. And I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. And I won't mention the name of the high school at this point. But back in the day, it was a good high school. We had rules that were strictly enforced. And we're talking about things like chewing gum in school, boys whose sideburns were too long, or girls' dresses that were too short. And man, have we come a long way since then. When I went back to visit my high school, there's bars on it. It's in a bad side of town. It's I've been told that some various gangs basically control a lot of the area out there. And it was really a shame to see all that happen, but that was, you know, that was a part of the evolution of that area, and it was sad to see it. But we didn't have to worry about some of the things that you do today. My mom and dad didn't have to worry about me when I got on my bicycle to ride someplace, because I could ride anywhere I wanted to. I'd ride miles away from home on my own, no worries. Yes, we had bad things that happened, but not nearly on the scale that they do today.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a much freer time. It was a slower time. There wasn't as many things for you to do. I shouldn't say it that way. There's not that many things to choose from to do. Most of my time I spent playing with my friends. We had our skateboards, we had our bicycles, we played football, baseball, did all kinds of things together like that, but there was no video games. We were a long way from Pong, if you remember Pong.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a super basic video game, and there was no video games. And of course, there was no internet. There was no personal computers. Everything, if you were going to write something, it was either handwritten or it was on a typewriter.
And through college papers, that was a huge ordeal.
And going back to the telephones, today's, you can get a hold of somebody wherever they are at and text and call and do all kinds of different things. Back in those days, you had the home phone, you had the phones at the office, you had pay phones. Eventually, they came out with digital pagers that people could carry around to get their messages. But most of the time, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you and you weren't at your phone, they would end up leaving a message on your recorder for your phone, and you'd eventually get it and do whatever you needed to do. So there was a lot of things that, as I look back, have changed so dramatically. Very different world.
Well, it's weird because it's interesting. For myself growing up, it was never a safe. It was safe, but it was always in the back of the mind of like a parent. Every time I would go outside, don't go too far. Stay where I can see you, because at that point there were more things going on. The internet didn't even come out until I was maybe 12, and that was dial-up. It was expensive. Everybody was like hoarding AOL hours, so they would send those CDs out for so many free hours of online time.
Mm-hmm.
So you could like chat with people. Chat rooms weren't really a big deal until I was maybe a teenager, so it'd be cool to like chat with someone from across the world, but you know, the bandwidth wasn't there to send imagery or anything like that, so it was strictly just text. For school, I was homeschooled, so that was a different experience in and of itself. But in growing up prior to the internet, I felt it was beneficial for me. I've really benefited from not having instantaneous information all the time my whole life, especially when I was learning the things that I was. So there were things in engineering or computers that I had to learn, that I had to go to the library and find the book, and fingers crossed they had a book that was reasonably up to date that I could read. And even online you would find sites, but they were strictly like news websites or nothing extensive as far as like the vast amount of information that we have now. The other interesting thing for me was like just TV media, instantaneous information really changed the landscape when I was growing up. Like I was able to buy my first computer at 15. That was a huge deal for me given what I do now. And that was just very exciting. You didn't think things would get any faster, but even looking at what we have nowadays, is the older stuff just pales in comparison. And it's almost that I look at the guys working in hardware stuff, and I was like, man, what is that like to have technology change so quickly? You can probably barely keep your head on straight. But that it definitely influenced the job stuff as I got more into the job world. I remember growing up when you would work for various larger corporations, there was this sense of like loyalty, or like you would stay at a company and work there 40 years and retire. And now that's if the company stays in existence that long. There's not a lot of those companies around these days that have been around for more than even 20 years. It's kind of a dinosaur. So that's when, how is that, what was that like going into the workforce for you?
Yeah, you're right about the loyalty thing. I worked for IBM for a lot of years, and we remember being called IBMers. And that was we were proud of that. We had great benefits. It was a good environment to work in. Every summer, the company would rent a local theme park, and all the families would go there and have their day in the park, and that was a lot of fun. Everybody looked forward to that. There was no reason to be looking somewhere else. You weren't always looking over your shoulder to another company that might pay you more for doing such and such, because you're pretty happy with what you had right there. Obviously, there's always the exception to that, but it was more of a time where there was a lot of emphasis on the family. They cared about that you were doing okay at home. So they didn't make demands on you. Like today, it's not unheard of to let go of people, and everybody else is expected to absorb the loss. And oh, you have a private life? Well, whatever. So that wasn't there wasn't a whole lot of thought.
Was there more of a focus on like the American dream of that era was you work, then retire? That's the goal.
Yeah, the gold watch. There was a lot of, particularly the executives getting what they called the golden parachute, where they got this incredible retirement package when they left. But these were guys that weren't doing what a lot of the guys are doing today. It seems like, and this is just my perception. I could be a little bit off on this, but it seems like a lot of the higher ups aren't looking to stay very long in their positions. So they sign a contract with a company to run a particular portion of a business for a certain period of time, and these will be my benefits. And so they're supposed to try to increase the profit of the company during that time and whatever. But then there's an out for them in a short term, rather than I'll stay with the company for 30 years kind of thing. But you just don't see that anymore.
We have such a high, I don't want to say turnover, it's of their own volition. But like the companies that I've worked with, and the one I'm in currently is based out in Silicon Valley, it's so common for people to move all the time. Like I'm talking like in under a year, you moved on to somewhere else. And it's just this constant environment of competitiveness that if you get into it too much, it'll drive you crazy. Because for a while, I would jump jobs every 2 to 3 years. Most of the time, it wasn't really on purpose. It was just I'd either outgrow the position or kind of get lethargic with something, or various company things would happen and I would have to move. But the retirement mindset from my generation, at least for people that I work with, it's almost not a thing that, in fact, no one talks about retirement at all.
Well,
So it's not even a thing that comes up in conversation.
Sure. Look what's changed as far as like the 401ks. Who has pensions anymore? Mm-hmm. The government still has pensions. You know, the federal and some states, I guess all the states have some kind of pension going on. I still have a pension from IBM, but they stopped that years ago for any of the new people. And now it's the 401ks, which are up and down.
Well, and a lot of time, they set up 401ks, but there's no matching. They'll set up a 401k for you for tax benefits for you to contribute to it without being taxed as far as the income, but they won't match it. That's actually not super uncommon either. So it's just kind of a weird, I don't know what the end goal is of like you get bought by a company and then you get a payout or something. But as I think about it, not a lot of people that I discuss things with are like, well, only 3 more years till I get to retire. Like, it seems like none of us talk about that at all. I guess we just envision work till you're dead or something. It's just a very strange. I just remember talking, like even my grandfather was just about when he retired, and that was kind of what you did. And jumping companies is like horrifying to the older generation of like, well, you're just very, you're not very responsible, and that's not really the case at all. It's a way to like strategically, after talking to some recruiters, I've used it to like gain other skill sets, which seems like a really, or even get a weird thing. It's like to give yourself a raise, just change jobs, which is kind of strange.
You know, it is strange, and it's interesting to me. I was tempted to interject and just say, well, how does that make you feel? Because I remember thinking, well, I guess I don't remember thinking this, because I think back when in the day when I wasn't worried about job change or all the upheavals that are going on, like what's happening today, we just took that for granted that this is the way life was, just like you're taking it for granted this is the way life is now, you know, at this point in time. But I wish I could take you back in time for you to be able to experience what the world was like back then. It's one thing to read about it or hear about it, but you don't get the sense of how it makes you feel and how it makes you function in your life. The things that you don't think about. For instance, just take the telephone technology for one example. I've said before, it kind of drives me nuts when I'm trying to talk to somebody and they're responding to every beep on their phone because somebody's trying to message them and wondering why they're not responding and all that kind of stuff. Well, if I could take you back pre all of this stuff, where when people were talking to each other, there was no reason to not give you their attention because, hey, there was no distractions. Okay, unless there was a cute girl walking by or something like that. But you didn't have all the distractions that are around you today. You didn't have some of the worries about is my company going to be here tomorrow? They've been around for umpteen years. Unless you really screw up, you're probably not going to lose your job. So you feel fairly comfortable and secure that you should be able to retire in 20 to 30 years as you had originally planned. And everything should be fine. But today, you know, that unsettledness that I would think would be on a lot of people's minds, it's got to eat at you. And it obviously it's making you choose some of the things that you choose to do because of maybe some of these underlying fears that, you know, maybe my job's not going to be here tomorrow, or maybe, you know, whatever.
Well, and so, through that environment, at least I can testify for myself, it seems like there is a higher baseline of stress and anxiety related to I could lose my job, I could get laid off. It's always there. At least for myself, maybe some people feel like super comfortable that nothing will ever happen. But I think from my experience, which I'm sure is felt by others, that you just kind of feel like you kind of get scrappy with it. And you do what you need to do, and especially in tech, like we're learning all this Kubernetes stuff now. Well, that's the new thing as far as clustering containerization. I didn't know anything about that stuff. I mean, I had just done, you know, in AWS or Azure cloud stuff, and now you have to learn all this stuff. And it's not even a question of, are you okay with this? Do you feel comfortable with this? How do you feel about learning things that are constantly overwhelming and very daunting to you? Oh, that's just your job. So now your job is just go with the flow and learn as much as you can where you have to survive and figure it out. But the benefits to that are, I had to put in a toilet paper holder that had like fallen off the wall. So I went, I bought one, and I, you know, I was like, whatever, I'll just screw it in. Screwed it in, screwed it up, like it was spaced wrong. But at that moment, there wasn't a YouTube video to tell you, like, when you screw it up, this is how you do it. So, like, I had to sit there and figure it out, which I'm sure in the past would have been like, well, duh, just do it. But for me, it was kind of exciting to, like, okay, I'm on my own. Now I have to kind of figure it out, and I'm going to buy, like, these certain types of screws for the sheetrock because it was just directly into sheetrock, and you want it to be firm. So, like, it goes in, and then you pop it out, and it, like, has this anchor on the other side that goes in, and then like measuring everything and re-drilling everything. I had to move it up and down so that it didn't collapse the original hole. Like that was quite an accomplishment. I'm sure in the 60s that would have been, you know, a Tuesday. But like for me, that was, but the benefit of having that mentality of constantly moving and shaking and seeing what's next, that's where it does become a benefit. But I agree with you. There's never a time where I feel retirement doesn't enter my mind. My ability to be absolutely invaluable never enters my mind. And I don't know if that's just, you're just conditioned that way with switching jobs so often. I don't associate myself with a company. It's more of an association of we're mutually benefiting from this relationship. But by no way is any of it permanent. And it's just kind of a thing that is very common in my mind. And going back in the day when I could work for a company for 30 years, as long as it would have maintained to be interesting, oh, that would be awesome. Like that I could actually like enjoy something or like rest a little bit instead of constantly being under the gun for everything.
You know, It dawns on me that some of that mentality may have had an impact on the cost of things. You think about it. If there's no loyalty between an employee and an employer, it's just a matter of, we've got this formal agreement, I'll do this, you pay me that, and somebody else wants to pay me more, I'm gone. Rather than having people that they enjoy the working environment, you're paying them a living wage, it's a good wage. May not be as much as the competitor down the street, but you're okay because you like the people you work with and they like you and they treat you well. You can maintain a certain cost or pricing on products that doesn't go up as often as it does in a market where everybody's just kind of out for themselves and the highest bidder. The next thing you know, prices go up. Yeah, salaries go up, but they so do the prices on products. You know, I think back to 1974. I think it was 1974. You could buy a brand new Corvette for, it was between $3,000 and $4,000.
Wow.
But then, obviously, the wages back then weren't what they are today either. But still, you know, it's just kind of interesting when I think back. I bought my first new car for $2,800, brand spanking new. So it's things have changed, not all for the best, but they have changed a lot.
So like in that time period, right, like 60s, 70s, did they have like books about, like I go in the bookstore now and it's life hack this and life hack that and how to make more and more, 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 more money, more success, more everything. Did they have like mentalities like that of like, this is how you make more money at your job, or was it more, what did that look like? Was it a more mentality thing?
I don't really remember too much about that. I don't remember having that mindset myself or knowing too many people that were. Obviously, there's always been a certain amount of drive in certain people to get ahead and do whatever it takes to get ahead. I just remember just a general sense of not only my own life, but a lot of the people that I knew, that we weren't as concerned about that as we were just about enjoying life, doing your job. But it was a better balance. I think that may be a better way to say there was a better balance between your private life and your work life. And there wasn't always this sense of the need for making more money or what do I need to do? Some people needed to do that because they weren't making enough money or they were lazy. But then those people have always been out there.
Because I struggle with that a lot with regard to taking a break, or I'll have to schedule things like play Nintendo. Like the key phrase you say when you say enjoying life, that seems to be very hard for me. I'm sure there are others out there in my generation that struggle with that, but it's very weird that you work, and then there's no placement on like enjoying things. And it's only as of like in the last 5 years I've started to grow into the mindset of like, things take time, relationships take time, it takes time to learn something new, nothing easy is worth doing. Like, so that's really started to set in, and I really take my time now to enjoy myself or have a conversation or mute the phone, or whereas I think even 10 years ago it wasn't really the case.
That's interesting. I do remember thinking in recent years one of the changes that's been unsettling is kind of what you're talking about, that there doesn't, that distinction between personal and private life, like I said, it wasn't so much of an issue back in the day when I was growing up. It was always there. Your company was concerned that, you know, your family was doing well and you were doing well, and you weren't, they as a company, they were more concerned about making sure of what they used to call headcount hours, a certain number of hours that they designated for a certain job, so that when they hired somebody, they figured this is an 8-hour day job, you know, we need another person for this, rather than the sky's the limit of the demands of companies make of people. The entrepreneur knows about that. I mean, they start, you know, starting up a company, it's like there's no rest, there's no vacations. You work until you make it, and then you can take your vacations and enjoy your fruit of your labor. But as a rule, companies way back, they knew how to do things that help people keep balance, because they knew that was important to people, you know?
I saw a documentary on, I think it was on drugs, and they were going over Adderall, and they did all these interviews with all these guys that are involved in like hedge funds, and they're like on trading floors, and they would have heart attacks like in their 30s from like popping too many Adderalls and having so much stress. And it's just kind of like, wow. So, I mean, every time I get approached by an investment firm, I'm like, I'm not that type of person, right? But like, you just look at that, and for them, it's like, oh, yeah, it's my second heart attack. It's like, good Lord, you're like 34 years old. Like, where are your priorities? But if that's the environment all around you, then that's kind of what you succumb to. But I think so go ahead.
Yeah, well, if you haven't defined what's enough for you, you know, somebody said to me one time many years ago, and I never forgot it. He said that the things that you're working for, that you're longing after, that Madison Avenue has got you thinking about, somebody else already has that, and they're working for something else. the new cars out there that you're looking for. I used to sell cars back in the day, new cars, and I'll never forget the feeling that I had. It was a Nissan dealership, although they didn't call it Nissan back then. They called them Datsuns, and they had what they called the 240Z, and then it was the 260Z, and then it was the 280Z, and then the 300 and beyond. And I remember when I was working for the dealership, and we were selling the, I think it was the 280Z. Really cool looking car, brand spanking new, all the bells and whistles. After I left that dealership, and a few years after that, I saw one of these on the road, and it dawned on me that what was new back then is no longer new. And so you begin to understand the way we push people to buy things, that, oh, that's old hat, that's yesterday's stuff. You need the newest stuff. And so they plant the seeds for people to be the consumers that they are. And they're never really satisfied. They haven't really clearly defined what is enough for me to be happy. And then, of course, in the process, a lot of people destroy relationships over their need to have and do, very self-centered type of an approach to life.
Well, I successfully learned from you, and on side note, the 280Z Datsun is still like a collector's. They still look pretty awesome. So what you taught me in impulse purchase, always sleep on it, come back the next day. I'm like a salesperson's worst nightmare, because I literally will only buy something if I absolutely don't really care if I buy it or not, because I've researched it to death. So like, my wife gets nervous every time I'm researching a new car or computer. I was just looking at like a computing gig or a rig to do like VR programming and stuff on. And it's like, I got it down to like $5,000 or something. And she's like, oh gosh, are we buying this? I was like, no, you don't understand. My process is research it for months and months and months. I had researched it so long that new chips were coming out that I was just throwing on for the same price. So I learned, especially with cars and looking at some sports cars lately, I just sleep on it now. Now I just kind of like, I love the new car, but I kind of love the $15,000 price reduction on buying it 6 months after it's new. You know, it's just, yeah, there's a better thrill in that. And that way it's not so expensive that you feel so nervous to drive it. So like, I really learned, I appreciate that from you in, think about it, and if you still want to buy it tomorrow, we'll buy it. And yeah. I really, really take that to heart now, with things that I buy.
That's good.
I'll say in conclusion, I think that we are successfully doing some time travel back to the 60s style mindset, and having podcasts and conversation, and we're not going over life hacks and how to do things faster and make more money. It's more about, you know, enjoying our relationship together and discussing things. So that's a win for your era. But did you have anything else?
No, I think that we could go on and on, but we don't want to do that. So
yeah. No, that's good. All right. Well, we'll see you next week.
Okay. Thank you.